and preach, usually don't say anything about him. Of course, it's not us, it's the Lord.
Amen.
But isn't it something the Lord chooses to work through mankind?
Amen.
That he wants to work through. You know, in Revelation, he talks about of an angel flying through the heavens with the everlasting gospel. You know, God could have sent angels to preach it all along, but he chose to have man to preach the word of God. And Paul told Timothy, he says, preach your word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it's come, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
And so people aren't enduring what thus saith the Lord. And I'd like for us to look into God's precious word. And as I said, it is an honor to be with you folks. And Lord willing, you'll have to put up with me again tonight. I don't want it to be like a man told me, want me to come preach for him up in Pulaski. And he had a sister that lived in Buena Vista, and I'd see him right often. And he kept asking me to come. I said, all right, I'll come someday and visit with you at your church. And so one day his sister had had a stroke. She's bed off. And I'd gone to the hospital to visit her, and he was there. And he followed me out of the room whenever I left. And he walked at the hospital. He walked around in front of me and turned around, faced me. He said, you said you'd come preach sometime. And he said, you never have done it. I said, when you want me to come? He said, we have a Thursday night service. I said, that's good. I don't have anything on Thursday nights. So I went to preach. And when we got to that church, before we got to the church, cars was parked on both sides of the street, on the road, beside the road, it was out in the country, a little country church. And I took five people with me. They were going to sing, which they did. But one of the men said, preacher, they must have heard you were coming. And I about got scared. I said, or they haven't heard I'm coming. And so we went in, and I mean, they sang. The place was packed. He hadn't even told the preacher that I was coming to preach. And over here in the amen corner, one of the deacons stood up and he peeled his coat off. It says, time to get started. And I thought, oh, me. They walked the pews. They rolled in the floor. They did everything. Now, I don't know if he was glad to see me or not. He had took me up on the platform, and I didn't have a book. Finally, they sang a song that I knew, and I sung to the top of my voice, and I couldn't hear myself. But anyway, finally the preacher, he said, well, let's go to the Lord. He had an altar rail there, and he'd get up on it two before on top there. He'd walk it back and forth, you know. And he said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. All right, that was good for me. He said, let's kneel in prayer. That was good for me. I knelt by the chair where I was, and a little while I was praying. Everybody was praying aloud at the same time, and I felt this tug on my arm. I didn't pay attention for a while, and I felt it again. I opened my eyes, and he had crawled on his knees over there to where I was. He says, are you going to preach? I said, well, I was asked to preach. So I preached. Everything got quiet as a pen. Not just like now. Nothing. And after I preached on the blood of Jesus. And after I preached, that preacher stood up and said, the one that walked on the water didn't die. He contradicted all I said. Really, it's something how people can be religious, I mean, and put everything in it, and still not have Jesus. I'd like to preach this morning on, so I don't know if I was, I don't know if I was welcomed there or not. Y'all clapped like if I was really welcome here. I appreciate it. And I'd like to speak on as of a lamb as of a lamb. In Genesis chapter 22, I'd like to read the first 7 verses to start with, and we'll go on down a little further. Genesis chapter 22 may be a familiar passage with you, where God tested Abraham. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Mount of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of his young men with him Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place, unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And that's what I want us to think about first. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? God told Abraham in verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, and told him to offer him up upon one of the mountains, offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And look back in chapter 21, verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. And this was Ishmael. And we won't get too much into him about Ishmael. And because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall all thy seed be called. Abraham talked to God about using Isaac. He had, Ishmael, he had told the Lord before, he said, Let Ishmael live before thee. He wanted God to use Ishmael, but God had other plans, not to use this one that he had, that was birthed to he and Hagar, but that God was going to give him a seed with him and Sarah. And he was his only begotten one, that by choice, by God's choice, what God had told, not the seed that where they tried to help God out. But anyway, here this was to be Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. All right, Abraham knew this. But yet here God told him to take Isaac up and offer him up as a burnt offering. Take thy son, thine only son, and offer him up. And notice he says in verse 2, whom thou lovest. Abraham loved his son, Isaac. He loved Ishmael. He had told the Lord before, he said, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Thine only son by promise, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. Think of God. He offered up his son. You think God loved him? I probably told you before about the lady got real bitter with God because her son was killed in battle. And she told the preacher, she said, Where was God when my son got killed? Preacher said, I suppose he's in the same place he was when his son got killed.
Amen.
People forget what Jesus has done for us. Take thine own, and God loved his son, but he allowed him to go to the old rugged cross. Why? Because he loved me too. And I wasn't prepared to stand before mighty God. Not before he sent his son. Take thy son whom thou lovest. You know, in Mark 1:11 it says, God the Father said, thou art my beloved son. Hear ye him. And in Matthew he says, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. My beloved son. What is my beloved son? It's the son of my love. This is the son of my love. And he told the apostles to hear him. God loved him. God loves us. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He loved you. He loved the old drunk in the gutter. He loved the murderer. He loves the thief. He died for them so they could be forgiven. Yes, he's a righteous God, and being a righteous God, he's a just God, and sin has to be punished. And if a person rejects Jesus' punishment on the cross for his sins, then he will have to answer to God. Revelation 20, verse 12, John says, and I, John, saw the dead stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. People say, well, the preachers say you'll never get out of hell, but you'll get out of hell to go into the lake of fire. Never get out of that punishment. But we can not ever go.
Amen.
We don't have to go. Take your son whom you love. And of course we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
That's 1 John 4:8 and then 4:19. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We love him because he first loved us. Take thy only son whom thou lovest and offer him up for a burnt. And verse 3, we see Abraham's quick response, his quick obedience. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. What was he having to go do? To offer his son. And he, without question, got up early to go carry it out. Obedience. Quick obedience. You know, Brother Paul is teaching in Sunday school there this morning about Ezra and Nehemiah going back building the wall and building the temple. I always liked Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, where it says about Ezra that he took the law, he obeyed it, and that I can't think how it goes. I wanted to quote it, but I don't think I can. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And not just seek it, but to do it, to obey it. He sought to obey the Lord. And we ought to seek to obey the Lord. Abraham quickly obeyed. He got up right away to do this horrible task and took his son early the next morning, wanting to do the word of the Lord. I think about Psalm 119, verse 59 and 60, where the psalmist says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The psalmist said, when I thought on my ways, boy, they wasn't too good. He said, I turned my feet to the Lord's ways. And he said, he made haste. He hurried up to be obedient to the Lord. Abraham hurried up. The next morning, as soon as he could travel, he rose up early in the morning and he set out to do, and went unto the place at the end of verse 3, and went unto the place of which God had told him. You know, we think about the place. We think the place is not important. It's real important. I think this is a place that's important to you. Amen. To come and to meet with God. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Get together. Get together. Pray together. Worship together. In verse 4, he says, then on the third day, 3 days traveling, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Had to go to this very place, important to the Lord. In this same place where later on Solomon built a temple. Verse 5, and Abraham said, abide ye here with the ass. He told young men. He could see the place where he had to go to over there. And he's going to leave these two young men that had gone with him. With the donkey, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the young lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. How can he come again if he's going to offer him up a burnt sacrifice? How could I and the lad go there and then this means and I and the lad's going to come back? Well, the answer, you probably already know this, but I think it's such a blessing, is in Hebrews chapter 11. If you care to turn there, we'll be going back to Genesis. But in Hebrews 11, verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, this only begotten son by promise, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. God received him in a figure, in a picture, in an illustration. But he knew God. By faith, he knew he and his son was going to come back. And if he killed him, which he intended to do, he drew the knife back, didn't he? There in Genesis 22. His only begotten son. He was willing to carry it through. He believed God was going to raise him up. Boy, see, all through the Old Testament, there's pictures. It says that God received him as a picture. There's pictures that picture something else, the illustration of something else all through the Old Testament. Even the man that went and he was to rebuke the king. And he asked another man to smite me. The other man refused to. He says, you're going to meet a lion. He's going to kill you. It did. And then he met another man, told him to smite him, and smote him. And in smiting him, he wounded him. And then he waited for the king. And when the king came, it was an illustration of what God was going to smite the king because of the king's sin. God did pictures all through the Bible, illustrations. And in Hebrews it says this was a picture. God received him in a picture. And Abraham knew that he was going to rise up. God was going to raise him up. A picture of the resurrection of our Lord. And 3 days was there. It took him 3 days to get there. But anyway, he was carrying the wood. And the Isaac was. They had everything. But Abraham by faith knew he and his son was coming back. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Both of them went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham and he said, my father. They had everything here that was necessary. Except where is the lamb? People's got everything. But they've left the lamb out.
Amen.
They've got the churches. We was in a library there at Lexington the other day. And the artist, Betty and I, has displayed our art in the library several times at Lexington. But someone has art displayed in their churches. It's nothing but churches that they've painted in the area of University around Rockbridge County. Several churches. And we looked at those. And people's got beautiful churches, beautiful buildings. But you don't hear nothing about Jesus.
Amen.
From the pulpit in many of them. And I don't mean to be just tearing down or against everything, their body. Like the old preacher said, anything that was wrong, he said, I'm against it. But we need to warn. Warn people. Tell them. Tell them about Jesus. And all right, they've got everything. They've got the churches. They've got the pews. They've got Sunday school rooms. But where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? If we leave Jesus out, we've missed it. For there is no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? He's the only way to heaven's glory, and he's being left out.
Amen.
Where? Where is the lamb? Got all we need. Got all we need but the lamb. Got the fire. Got the wood. Isaac was carrying the wood. His daddy was carrying what was going to kill him. The fire and the knife. And Jesus died on the cross. He carried his cross, didn't he? Carried what he was crucified on. But where is the lamb? And now, one of the greatest, I won't say it's the greatest, but a great piece of prophecy in the first part of verse 8 in Genesis 22. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
God will provide himself. See how that's written? God, it's not that God's going to provide a lamb for himself. It's that God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
God will provide himself a lamb. We say, he did in this chapter. He provided Abraham a sacrifice. He didn't fulfill that scripture. He provided a ram. Abraham found caught in the thicket down in verse 13. That prophecy wasn't fulfilled until Jesus died on the cross. God will provide himself a lamb. But in verse 16, here in Genesis chapter 22, it says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, you've done what I have asked you to do." In verse 18, "And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." You know, back in, I referred to 21:12 earlier, where the last part of that verse, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And I just like to, I think I got it marked in Galatians. Thought I had it marked in Galatians. Thinking about the seed in Galatians chapter 3, I'd like to just read that. I know time's fleeting. But in Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, in the plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So he was talking about the seed of Abraham, not only Isaac, but it was all the way to Christ. He wasn't talking about all the seeds, all the descendants of Abraham, but it went all the way down to Christ as being the seed. And then I like this too in Galatians 3, verse 29. "And if ye be in Christ," if ye be Christ's, possession there, if you belong to Christ, if you be Christ's, "then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We're seeds of Abraham. We are the seed, I guess in the singular. We are the church is a seed of Abraham through Christ, who's the seed born in the lineage of Abraham. Say, I don't understand all that. I don't know about who either or not. But we're spiritual seeds of the spiritual seed of Abraham. God will provide himself a lamb. And beloved, the lamb is being left out.
Amen.
What did John the Baptist say in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 29? "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. Where is the Lamb? John the Baptist answers it. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'd like to turn to John chapter 1. I think probably seen all that want to use out of the book of Genesis. But in John chapter 1, I quoted verse 29, and then going on down to verse 34, "And I saw and bear record," John the Baptist did, "that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following. He saw them following him. The disciples heard him speak. Whenever John the Baptist, he lost two of his own disciples there preaching Jesus. They followed Jesus. You know, if we could just present Jesus as the Lamb and see people turning to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Look, see the Lamb of God. But the Lamb is being left out. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware of false prophets. We need those that's leaving out the Lamb. Some of them really have strict religion. Real strict, that people have to follow. But they aren't preaching Christ. They aren't given the plan of salvation. They're leaving out Christ. Leaving out the Lamb. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11, start along about 13, it says, "And such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." They appear, even the devil presents himself. He was an angel of light. He lost his position, didn't he? But now, if we saw the devil, if we could see him with our natural eyes, we'd see probably the most beautifulest creature we'd ever seen. He's not gonna be a red man with the horns and a pointed tail. He's gonna present himself, 1 Corinthians 11. He's gonna present himself an angel of light. An angel of light. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. No, it's his first. Yes, 2 Corinthians 11. I always get my first and seconds mixed up. But behold the Lamb of God. John the Apostle beheld the Lamb of God. John beheld the Lamb. In the Gospel, or in the Revelation chapter 5, he says that John saw in the midst of the throne a lamb as it had been slain. Right in the middle of the throne in God's glory, it's going to be before us. It's going to be before us throughout eternity. A lamb as it had been slain. God's going to keep it before us. What we have. What we've got. He says, "I beheld." In Revelation 5, verse 6, he saw the beasts there, the living creatures. He saw the elders there, but then he saw, and he beheld a lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. Isn't that something? In heaven's glory. 1 Peter 1:18. "For as much as ye know, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from the fathers. But, what have we been redeemed with? But with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb." As of a lamb. Somebody asked me earlier, said, "You go preach on the eagle?" I preach that everywhere I've preached, I guess. And I title it, "As an Eagle." See an illustration, as an eagle. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles. And shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint." Well, as a lamb.